Good Saturday morning to you, everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, the Director of Family Services of the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
I am not doing too shabby. I'm doing my best to hang in there over here. How about yourself?
I'm telling you, just doing great. Any better, I'd be in jail.
Wow, that's saying something. Hey, by the way, how was Mother's Day in the Radlitz household?
It was very, very nice.
Good to hear.
I had the pleasure of being with my son and my grandchildren. And so, you know, we had a little double Mother's Day celebration between, you know, my wife and his wife. And yeah, surrounded by family is always a nice thing to do. And, of course, you know, last week we talked about Our Lady, you know, all of our mothers. So it was really great to be able to honor the lives of those that are the mothers of our children.
So, interesting, yeah, how that is. Interesting. You know, speaking of which, by the way, if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of pick up where we left off a little bit last week. We ran out of time, and I still had, a couple of questions pertaining just to give everybody a quick recap. We were talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe. We talked to Our Lady of Lourdes. We talked about Our Lady of Fatima. And then time just got the better of us, which is not to be, you know, surprising to anybody. In fact, it's to be expected, quite frankly. I've got other questions that I wanted to get to about today's show. But would you mind at all if I maybe asked a couple of questions that were kind of hinged on last week's show? Or
no, that's not a problem. As a matter of fact, I know we kind of ran out of time when we were talking about Our Lady of Fatima, and there was one thing I wanted to kind of add to that. Those three children, mm-hmm, that experienced that vision,
yeah,
two of them died like within 2 years after the visions.
What do you attribute that to?
I attributed that to, the Spanish influenza?
Oh, okay.
I think that's what got them. And the third sister, we call her Sister Lucia because she ended up becoming a Carmelite nun. She died in 2005 at the age of 97 and wrote four memoirs dealing with the secrets of Fatima, not because she wanted to, but because she was asked by popes and by the bishops to write down some of the things that she experienced. So it was just pretty fascinating. I just thought that, you know, and you know, you would ask me why I care so much about Our Lady of Fatima. To me, it was just one of the most beautiful things that we could have ever experienced, especially since she pushed on the whole aspect of praying the rosary, and the rosary means a lot to myself and to my family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go through all kinds of Catholic teachings, and you'll read about the power of the rosary, the power of prayer in general, but especially the rosary because it's Our Lady's prayer. And I, again, you know, we as a family say the rosary every night and have for years and years and years. And it's just something that, you know, is near and dear to my heart always.
As it should be, to everybody's heart. All these appearances of Mary, they've taken place in, I think it was Europe, Mexico. just out of curiosity, has any ever occurred in the United States?
Yeah, so throughout history, and I think it's, I don't think it's been since 1944, I think, was the first one that was like in Detroit somewhere. But there's been 29 different apparitions of Our Lady in the United States. The two that seem to be the most known is Conyers, Georgia, which started in 1990. And in some cases, I think, is still actually happening in sometimes. And then the second one that is the only one that has been approved by the Catholic Church actually happened up near Green Bay, Wisconsin, at a little parish called Our Lady of Good Health, where a sister who was there, Mary appeared to her. Her name was Adele Breeze, and this was back in 1859, just outside of Green Bay, a place called Champion, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And she visited this nun and basically told her to focus on the sacraments and catechesis of the young and the salvation of sinners. And it was very important that the idea of evangelization to children be taking place. So that's the only apparition that in the United States that has church approval. And here's something that's really interesting. I don't know if you've been much of a student of history at all, but Wisconsin had a fire that was called the Peshtigo Fire. It burned for days, and it really ran from the southwest to the northeast up both sides of Green Bay. It was a wildfire that had immense proportions, terrible heats, and hurricane force winds.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking 2,000 degrees of temperature, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing that was in the path of this fire survived. What ended up happening was people realizing that this thing, and now remember, we're talking back in the 1800s, so it's not like there was a lot of equipment around that could prevent all this, okay? I think it was in 1859 that this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the people started to run to Our Lady of Good Help, which was this five-acre compound with a big church. And they ran into the church. They started praying the rosary. They took a statue of Mary, lifted it high, and then processed around the church and were pleading for Mary's intercession to try and save, you know, themselves and everything else. Anyway, bottom line is that fire burned everything all around. 2,500 people died from this fire. The only thing that survived in the path was the Church of Our Lady of Good Help.
That's incredible.
And the white picket fence that was around it was charred black on the outside from the flames, but nothing inside the fence was harmed. So, you know, it's funny how Our Lady works, you know? A lot of people, you know, poo-poo some things and say, miracles, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there's so much there that's documented that if people just took the time, you know, they'd realize that the supernatural aspect of our faith in God and Jesus and Mary is very much alive and well in
sure.
our lives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, this is an incredibly important apparition to the Catholic Church, because it is the only one in the United States that has been approved. And it was focused on the need to teach the faith to the young, to evangelize, why Catholic catechesis is important, and to pray for the salvation of souls.
Mm.
And do everything you can to help people get to heaven. So, yeah, pretty amazing.
It is amazing. And listen, no doubt, years and years of authenticated experiences of these visitations from Mary. But how does the Blessed Mother fit into the role of proclaiming the messages of Jesus? I mean, maybe just the examination of her titles in the church will help answer the question.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the things I was going to tell you is, you know, the evaluation of how important Mary is actually comes from a lot of the titles that she has.
Oh?
And I'll give you an example. So, Blessed Virgin Mary. We always hear about the Virgin Mary. Well, according to church doctrine, and it is approved church doctrine, Mary is ever virgin before, during, and after giving birth to Jesus. She remains the Virgin Mary. Okay? Why is that important? Well, this is the level of purity that exists. It's why we have in the church teaching the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception meant that Mary was conceived without original sin. The only person born, other than Jesus, who was born without original sin, okay? Because there's a pureness that's associated with her. There's a pureness that's an example for us to follow and to understand. She's called the Mother of God, okay? The Greek term for it is the Theotokos, the one who bears, one who is God.
Mm.
That title recognizes her Son, Jesus, as both fully God and fully man.
Mm-hmm.
So as the Mother of God, it is an amazing title to have. We also call her Our Lady, okay? In many different languages, Madonna, Notre Dame, Nuestra Señora, that's Our Lady. It's a title of courtly honor. It's used to describe the nobleness of women, of queens, and throughout history. And again, this is not only a title that's very fitting for someone who carried God and brought God into human form on earth, but also someone who was a great example for us. She's also called Mary, the Queen of Heaven, okay, because as the mother of Jesus, she takes place by his side as the Queen of Heaven, and she is addressed as such. We talked earlier about the Immaculate Conception, mm-hmm. being conceived without original sin, and the Assumption of Mary, okay, meaning the fact that Mary was taken bodily up into heaven after her death, okay? So, Christ, like Christ was assumed into heaven also, all right? So there's a lot in the titles of Mary. There's many, many other titles, and I mean literally hundreds of different titles for Mary, mm-hmm. Depending on how she was seen by people or explained to. So we see Mary, the role of Mary, fulfilling in many ways as the role of prophet, kind of explaining and proclaiming the message that Christ himself had on earth. She is the continuation of the prophetic messages that Christ talked about, always bringing us back to her son. Her message is always that every apparition has this in common. People have gone astray, and Our Lady comes to help refocus them on her son, either through the Eucharist, through catechesis, or through the sacredness of God's name in and of itself. So that continuation of the prophetic message of her son is really what is her greatest role and has so much to do with why we honor her, look at her, and you know, pray to her and ask for her constant intercession. Especially when it comes to the, you know, praying the rosary. I mean, that's one of the things that she talks about, prayer in general, but in particular in some of these apparitions, she talks about praying the rosary, how important it is. If you think about it, you know, the rosary is the perfect prayer because it teaches us how to just be, okay? And that's not small or insignificant in this crazy world of ours, okay? It teaches us to just slow down, calm down, and just let go and offer the struggles we have to God. And in that process, listen to what God has to say. So people laugh sometimes. Oh, it's just this repetitive prayer. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Yeah, that's right. And it kind of just causes you to say these prayers and just let yourself go and not be so consumed with the noisy world that we live in. It really impacts our lives in so many ways. Mary is a tremendous advocate for us. And I guess one of the biggest titles that we talk about with Mary is her as the mediatrix of all graces. So God gave her that title so that all grace that we receive comes through Mary, which is phenomenal since she's not God, okay? Mm-hmm. But God gave her that specific title as mediatrix of all grace. So when we go to confession and we receive graces through the sacraments, they come from God all through Mary. It's an amazing title. And again, it's just another example of why Mary should be such an important part of our lives, not only as Catholics, but as human beings.
Well, there's we pray to her. Hail Mary, right?
I mean, of course.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah.
Chris, not to switch gears here, but I know that we've got a big event coming up this week. In fact, it's right across the street from where we are or where I am right now, which is in the studios here in Bloomfield.
We talked last week about Our Lady of Guadalupe. So,
right.
I know you've been there. If you drive through the Mount St. Benedict Cemetery, which is right across the street, One Cottage Grove Road, from the radio station, you'll see this section, new section, and this beautiful, tall, four full-color monument statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And that's a new section. And we're very honored and pleased that on May 20th, this Thursday, Bishop Juan Miguel Betancourt will be there to do the dedication of this section. So we're inviting all of your listeners to take a moment, come down and meet with the bishop and have a chance to hear him talk about this dedication. And there will be a reception afterwards. It's not a big thing. It'll be a small one. And it's all held outside.
Nice.
So nobody should be worried about you know, any social distancing issues, et cetera. We'll have plenty of room. Starts at 10 o'clock, and you know, gladly invite everyone to come down and hopefully participate in this.
Very nice. You know what, folks, we like to talk about holidays and holy days here on the show. And if I'm not mistaken, was it just last Thursday was Ascension Thursday, and it's one of the holiest days of the obligation. So let's talk a little bit about that. I know images of levitation and Jesus going into heaven, the pearly gates, St. Peter's greeting us. That all comes to mind. It's literally an ascension into heaven?
It is. Literally was a physical ascension of our Lord into heaven. So what ends up happening, the ascension occurs 40 days after Easter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Christ rises from the dead Easter Sunday. 40 days later, he ascends into heaven, okay? Jesus and his disciples went to Mount Olivet, which is near Jerusalem. And there, that's when, if you remember in the Bible, when Jesus says, I will send you the Paraclete, mm-hmm. okay? Well, he's telling him that soon they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, look, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. So remember, they were in the upper room, and they were all scared, and they were hiding. And then all of a sudden, you know, the wind blows, and tongues of fire descend upon these people. Well, that was the Holy Spirit being given to them. So Jesus at that time said, remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Then Jesus blessed them, and as he was giving him his blessing, he began to slowly ascend and rise into heaven.
Yeah.
Angels came around him and basically said that everyone that was there, because it was not only the disciples, but some of his other followers, and said, you will see Christ return again in just the same way that you have watched him go. So that tells us that when the second coming of Christ occurs, it will be with angels bringing him down directly from heaven back into earth.
Wow. Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz, the Director of Family Services of the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. But why is the ascension so meaningful?
Yeah, that's a good question. Considering all the things that he did on earth and the fact that he rose from the dead, hello.
Exactly.
Why is the ascension so interesting? Why does that have any meaning? Well, there's a couple of reasons. First, it signaled the end of his earthly ministry. So he was fully God and fully human. Well, his period of human limitation had just reached its end. Okay? He was done. His earthly ministry was finished. He had accomplished basically the salvation of the world, which was what God the Father had sent him to do from that very first day at his birth in Bethlehem. Now the Son was returning to the Father. Second, it signified the success of his earthly work because he had accomplished all he had come to do. You know, when he was praying in the Garden of Olives the night before his crucifixion, you know, he said, if this cup can be taken from me, but your will be done. Well, you know, he was there to accomplish something. God the Father wanted him to do it, and he accepted it, and he did it. Well, that's it. When he ascended, it was clear that his mission had been accomplished. Next, it was also the return of him to his heavenly glory. Because remember, he came to earth as human, but he was still the Son of God. So his glory stayed with him. And then, you know, on earth, a handful of his disciples got to see the unveiling of that glory during the transfiguration, okay? That was the one brief exception where God showed his power on earth as Jesus. And then lastly, it symbolized that God had exalted him and was now going to receive him with honor. Mm-hmm. And bring him to the place that he prepared for him, and more importantly, he was going to now prepare for us. Because as you recall in Scripture, there was a time when Jesus was giving them the foreboding that he was going to be gone. And they're saying, well, where are you going? You know, he says, well, I have to go and prepare a place for you. Well, that's exactly what he was doing. This this assumption now, excuse me, ascension, was him going up to prepare that place. So there's some striking significance in what the ascension really is all about. And I hope that that kind of gives you an
understanding. Yeah, I guess it's just hard to imagine or even put into our limited capacity of this place called heaven. So I based on what I'm listening to you say right now, I mean, is this where Jesus is right now at this moment?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's plain from Scripture that Jesus' ascension was literally a bodily return to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He rose up from the ground gradually and was received into a cloud, and everybody was watching, and off he went, and it's clear from Scripture that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and that is in heaven. So we talk a lot about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about hell, not necessarily as much as we should sometimes. So the easiest way to understand heaven is by understanding hell. Hell is the complete absence of God. Now, just try and picture in your mind a moment what the world would be like with the complete absence of God. Where does evil get checked? How does the world function? Well, think of the pain that that causes. So when they talk about the fires of hell, are they necessarily flames licking at your feet? I don't know. I think it's the absence of God that causes the burning pain. Because trying to live a life without God, or at least the tenets that he ascribes to, is going to be a little difficult, I think.
Sadly, some would say we're starting to witness it right here, right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said it. I wasn't going to, but there's a lot of that going on, and I think that the more that we remove God from the public marketplace, the more we remove God from schools, the more we remove God from government, the more we head down into this slippery slope of oblivion that is not a pleasant place to be in the end. You don't have to leave Earth to be in hell, if you know what I mean.
I do. That's why I said that.
Yeah.
Maybe we got less than 5 minutes left, but we really need to talk more about the meaning of heaven, I suppose. We have so many images in our mind, really, since childhood. And I don't even know if there's enough time to ask this or to answer this question, but you can have all the time until I need to close out the show. What is the real meaning, the meaning of heaven?
Well, you know, I guess if we look at our faith, We understand that our faith meant nothing if Christ didn't rise from the dead, okay? But because he rose from the dead, that means that he truly conquered death. So when we die, there's only three options. You either go to hell because you've committed mortal sins that you didn't confess, that you were unrepentant for, and even God's mercy chose not to be given to you. So the second place you can go is purgatory, and purgatory is the place where you may have sins that you've committed or you have actions that you did throughout your life that caused you to have some kind of retribution, some kind of punishment due you, but they weren't bad enough to be considered mortal sins, which would have sent you straight to hell. So you spend this time where there's the absence of God, but there's the hope and the knowledge that at some point you will experience the beatific vision. And then the third place is what we traditionally call, and what Christ even called, heaven. It's the abode for the righteous dead in the afterlife. It's the place where we go when our life has been lived to the best of our abilities, to the best of the teachings of the faith and Christ's teachings on earth. And it's that temporary stage before, you know, the final judgment occurs and we all return to the new earth, okay, at some point, where the 1,000-year reign of Christ will once again take over and earth becomes a much nicer place to be. Almost an Eden-like environment, I would assume. I don't know. Obviously, we haven't been there yet. So you know, Christ, who was God on earth, mm-hmm. is also eternally one with God in heaven. So we all now, that is God's abiding openness to all human beings, that at some point we will get to spend that time with him and that experience that beatific vision and be in the possession of God in a way that we could never put into words. It's this radical union that we begin to experience with God. And it's nothing that we could ever envisage here on earth because it's so phenomenal.
Chris,
precisely because of that, that other members of the body of Christ will experience it together. What were you going to say?
I've got less than 2 minutes. I really wanted to have you maybe go into the event that's coming up this week at Mount St. Benedict, if you can do that for the next 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it in the beginning of the show. Yeah. I'm glad to mention it again. I think it's great that Bishop Juan Miguel Betancourt is going to honor us at the Catholic cemeteries over at Mount St. Benedict on May 20th. He will be there to do the dedication of our new Our Lady of Guadalupe section, beautiful, tall, four-color monument statue, the only color monument statues that we have in the whole organization, all 30 cemeteries.
That's right.
The ceremony starts at 10 a.m. It's going to be a small reception afterwards, and it will all be held outside. So I hope that if you're listening, you will have the opportunity to join us and get to experience some time with the bishop.
Perfect. You've been listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. If you'd like to get a hold of the Catholic Cemeteries Association, check out their website. It's really easy. www.ccacemary.org. Again, CCACEM.org. If you've got a question and you'd like to have it answered on these very airwaves, maybe as soon as even next week, simply email us at CCAWDRC@gmail.com. And of course, to reach the Catholic Cemeteries Association, they've got a toll-free number, 800-505-0080. Again, toll-free, 1-800-505-0080. For Chris Radlitz, the Director of Family Services of the Catholic Cemeteries Association, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, have a good one, everybody. So long.